Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. This is David Lincoln with Lincoln on Lending, and I'm honored to come and have you join us. And I feel like you guys are joining in with us, or we're joining in on your day, along with our regular guests, Alice Alvey, Joe Farr, and Andy Schell. The four of us get excited about bringing to you each and every week an impacting program that brings you up-to-the-minute information of what's going on related to interest rates, what's going on related to legislation, and oh my, is there a lot going on there, and tips and tools from the Profit Doctor, as well as today's hot topic. Folks, we just want to say welcome today to the program. As we do each every week, we want a special thank you goes out to PMI for being a sponsor, as well as Del Mar Database and Mortgage U, of course, and MBS Quote Line, Wetzel Trott and Mortgage Banking Solutions. And our new partner that we have up here is Housing Matrix. We welcome them and so glad to have them up there getting the word out to so many. If you haven't gone over to Housing Matrix website, go on over there, housingmatrix.com, click on the American Housing Media, and take a look. You'll see us hosted up there. But also, more importantly, well, that's important to be able to find us, but you can go in and register for upcoming emails that will email you each week about who's the guest, what's coming up, and we're really excited about that, what they're doing in getting the word out and welcoming so many realtors that are joining our audience to listen to what's going on. So we've had some exciting guests, some of which have come as a result of our affiliation with Housing Matrix, and we're excited about it. So without further ado, let's get into today, Monday 13th, into what's going on with interest rates. Joe Farr, take it away.
Hey, Dave. Hey, it's another good start to a week. We're up 1430 seconds. The Fannie Mae 4 is up 1430 seconds. A little surprising. No real economic news to push it higher. In fact, the news coming out today is, from overseas is in China is kind of stronger than expected. But MBS prices are up nicely, and stocks are up a little bit, and treasuries are up, not quite as much as MBS, but odd, but a welcome move higher.
Yeah, and it's the decoupling of normally you have a countercyclical event when equities go up, you know, it affects interest rates, and now the conversely. So it's really interesting that there seems to be a decoupling. What happened last week that was so significant, Joe?
Well, you know, all my prepared comments are kind of being thrown to the wind today because of this rise. You know, we saw one of the first increases in mortgage rates last week, and first in like, you know, 2 months almost. And to me, and what we thought and talked about last at the end of last week was that it was kind of an expected event. You know, you cannot keep going down forever. And there wasn't a lot of economic news last week, and the Treasury auctions came out. They were kind of mixed. And yeah, at some point, you have to start asking yourself, how low can we go? You know, we're seeing big premiums being paid for 4% mortgage-backed securities. We're seeing yields on mortgage-backed securities in the just over 3.5%, barely above what people are, you know, you can get on dividend yields. And so, you know, at some point we have reached that point. That's what I was saying Friday, that, you know, where are we? But now we're lower. So, who knows? We'll talk a little bit more about that in the strategy session later on. But, great start to a week. 1430 second improvement in price. Not quite so much an improvement in the lower coupon prices, but, our lower coupon securities, but still a good start to the week. The rest of the week we'll have some pretty significant events to consider. Tomorrow, retail sales comes out at 8:30. we're expecting an increase in retail sales of about 0.3 ex-auto, and so be on the lookout for that. If it's a significant miss, it could be a real market-moving event. Wednesday, industrial production's released at 9:15. That too's significant. Thursday and Friday, though, will be the big events. Thursday's producer price index, or PPI, and Friday is consumer price index, or CPI, and those are CPI is the more significant of the two as an indication of inflationary pressures. But the expectations are that inflation is under control. Annual increases are expected to remain under 2%, which is very reasonable.
Yeah.
And so I think if there's a surprise, will be to the point of when there is a surprise, it's going to be that inflation starting to pick up. When that happens, we'll see the market move fairly dramatically, I think. But at this point, everyone should anticipate that CPI and PPI are well under control.
Well under control, which means we're probably going to be in a continued stable environment, not a lot of volatility at the immediate time. But as we're going to be talking about in the Hot Topics segment, I'll tell you, interest rates, when they're this low, they're bound to be heading up. And, boy, we got volatility. We're going to be talking about how that relates to your strategy and the importance of having a service like MBS Quoteline on your side, helping you out. Joe, thank you so much for bringing us this update. And we'll look forward to continuing on in just a minute. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. Whether you're listening to us live, as a good number of you do each and every week on your computers, and some of you dial in with your cell phones, we got this control panel up and tell us where we have people coming in from all over the country, and it's a welcome sight. We love to hear it. But, you know, we realize more and more of you are listening to this on a downloaded basis where you're listening to it kind of after the fact, and I don't care how you listen to it. We're just glad to be a part of your method of getting information, and so much, thank you so much for the positive feedback. So much of the feedback we get is related to the legislative update. You know, we have Alice Alvey, President of Mortgage U, which does an outstanding job. She and her staff do an excellent job of bringing us all of this, digesting voluminous amounts of information and bringing it to us. Alice A., as you bring it each week, we just welcome you. Bring it on. What's happening now in the legislative world?
Well, it is nice when we get a little bit of a break here as Congress was out and actually reconvened today. So really what we're going to do now is just try and look ahead. We are watching. There are supposed to be some hearings expected this week to begin to discuss Fannie Freddie and the future of the GSEs. So we'll see what happens there. Not sure if that'll be legislative or how that's actually going to all evolve. We'll wait and see, obviously, as they try and determine what might be some options through the, for the future for Fannie and Freddie. So for our focus today, I wanted to just let everybody know we are in our strategy session we're going to be having later on in the program, talking more about the Dodd-Frank Act. What ultimately happened, we got that legislation passed, and now all the rules are coming out. And one of my customers used the word seismic to describe the change. And I thought
great
that was a
definition.
Perfect
That's a great
word.
Explanation.
Yeah, you know, that they just feel the loan officer compensation changes are seismic. So we are watching the rules. It's a little bit of a mixed signal. Technically, all of these Reg Z changes have been out there, and we've been talking about them since 2009. So here it comes with the bill being passed and now some subsequent rules to put certain measures in place. So the Truth in Lending Act, the prohibition of certain loan officer compensation, that rule was published August 16th. As a matter of fact, if you want to read these, you can go to the Federal Reserve Board press release page. If you just put that in your search engine, you'll be able to pull up all of these rules that we're tracking for you. So there's a rule on the loan officer compensation, which we'll be talking a little bit about more in our strategy session. There's the part, the Truth in Lending also is going to be changed in terms of the ARM and balloon disclosures. We're supposed to be getting a proposed rule on that with a comment period. Those are going to be some very big changes to those ARM disclosures and the forms that we're going to be giving our customers. Some also proposed changes for transfer of servicing disclosures. Reverse mortgages has a very big change to that overall program. So we will be following up with that once we get some actual rules published. We just have some that we don't have actual numbers yet associated with these. So we just right now are working with the Federal Reserve Board's draft of these rules. We're anxious to get the final actual publications of these. So we're going to be looking at we're also going to be looking for the other legislative pieces that are going to be coming out. We've got flood insurance did pass the House, so H.R. 5114, the Flood Insurance Extension Act, passed the House back in July. We've got to get a companion bill out there and get the whole thing through to get that extension. And we're also going to be watching for you going forward a couple of bills related to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. You know, you've seen the ads on TV, and Congress has too, and they want to try and get something in the Fair Credit Reporting Act to say that credit scores would be free. So that would be, I think, something consumers would vote yes on.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
Also exclude medical debt. So another proposed Senate bill here. So we have Senate Bill 3419 for the Fair Credit Reporting Act to exclude medical debt that has been resolved from someone's credit report, so to keep that off of the reports. So that's the information in a nutshell for right now, what we're watching for you, Dave.
Well, thank you so much, and a big thank you out to your staff, Alice, that is consuming great amount of information. I mean, we're not talking about a few pages here. We're talking about thousands of pages that Alice and her staff are going through on your behalf, listeners. So stay tuned. Pass this around. What a great resource. Alice, thank you so much. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to you today about strategy. And the Profit Doctor has been rumored to have a few strategies that are going to drop more dollars to the bottom line. Andy Schell, also known as the Profit Doctor, welcome to the program. Tell us, what are the strategies you have up your accounting sleeve?
Well, thanks, Dave. I love strategy. You know, strategy is one of my most favorite topics because, you know why? It's all about what can be. Strategy is where can you go and what can happen. So, and I love figuring out the future, but you know the rest of it, Dave, it's all about ROI too.
Yep.
Can't have the strategy without an ROI component. You know, one thing I was thinking about, you know, one of my personal strategies would be to, let's say, live to be 100. I know, Dave, your dad recently passed away at a very old age, and I would like to live to be a long time, too. So how am I going to do that? Well, let's say I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Well, so to do that, I'm going to first assess where I am. You know, how much do I weigh now, and what's my goal weight? How long is it going to take me to get there? And then the benefits of being there is that I'll be more healthy. But what if my eating is a coping mechanism to deal with stress, and if I'm going to can't eat, I'm going to start smoking? So now, is that better? Is it better to lose weight because I'm going to start smoking when the reality is I need to deal with my coping mechanisms? You know, so you push one button and strategy and a drawer props out, and you push the drawer in and a light goes on. you got to look at it so holistic when you look at strategy, because just one thing makes something else happen. You know, in the mortgage arena, we're talking about we want to double our volume, we want to grow 100%, or we want to have the largest market share in our city by adding a bunch of branches. Well, what if the branches lose money? So it's not just about bigger, it's not just about more, it's about more profitably. And the way you have more profitably is you got to be able to measure what you've got. You got to be able to look at profit per loan. You got to be able to look at profit per originator, profit per branch. You got to have a financial forecast. And as we get into the strategy piece, some of the strategy piece is going to include capital growth. It's also going to include a branch increase, because that can be done well, but you've got to make sure that you do that well. So if you're going to raise capital, you got to have a good forecast. You got to have a defendable baseline. So there's a lot of really cool parts that come out of strategy. And one of the things that we're facing today, Dave, is there's so many changes hitting us. Just listening to Alice every week, there's all these changes that are hitting us. And listening to Joe, we've got the lowest rates ever. And so there's all this dynamic hitting us all at the same time. And sometimes people, when they face significant change, they go into denial, and denial compounds indecision. And that can be devastating. That can be disastrous for an organization. So it's really important to accept and adapt. You know, if I was taking a class once talking about estate management, and in 1890, a wealthy individual said that everybody's estate money has to stay in buggy whip manufacturers. And that was in the will, and they couldn't change it. And by 1917, 1920, they lost all the money because buggy whip makers were out of business. So you've got to accept the fact that there's dynamic, there's change. Look at Kodak. You know, Kodak film has lost, the numbers are staggering, the amount of film sales that have gone away in the last 15 years because of digital cameras. So again, Kodak's still there. They've adapted, they've adjusted, they now make printers and a bunch of other stuff. And as we go into and start talking about all of the changes that are affecting mortgage banking, the Dodd-Frank and the overtime requirements and all this stuff, there's a path to the other side of this. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. There's a way to get through all this successfully and profitably, and I believe we can do it, and excited to talk about it.
Well, you know, what a great opener for our next topic and segment we're going to talk about is talking about strategy and you know, all the aspects of the exciting aspects of how you can not only survive but thrive. I mean, I just published another article that came out, and I keep getting asked every time I speak and I show up at one of these conferences. Dave, I read a quote that you said that, you know, in the future, in the next 5 years, more money will be made than the previous 25 years. That's a statement that our firm's been saying and believe in. And we're watching it happen, folks. So, Profit Doctor, thank you so much for bringing this segment. Also, one other thing you said I thought was so interesting, talking about living to one to live to 100. There's a lot of guys that want to keep their business around for a long, long time. But it becomes so miserable, just like the quality life of an old person. My dad wanted to live longer than 87, but the quality of his life started deteriorating because of health conditions. Folks, if you've got bottom line issues, you're going to want to end your company life a lot sooner than it needs to be. Don't avoid premature death. Get a hold of the Profit Doctor and let him fix what ails you so you can enjoy quality life. Folks, we'll be right back just after this quick break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Licken with Licken on Lending. Again, we appreciate so many of your listeners coming into and listening to us. Just dialed in on the phone, folks. We got folks from Florida, South Florida, North Florida, New Hampshire, Ohio, Missouri, and that's just a few that we had a chance to look up during the break here of where you're calling in from. Thank you so much. All across Texas, all across the West, thank you so much for making us a part of your regular, you know, information gathering process, and we have got an exciting program. You know what? We get a lot of feedback that says, you know what, I love listening to the guests. You got great guests, and we've had some really good ones with some great information recently. But you know what? They come back and say, we really like it when it's just the four of you sit around and talk about what's going on in the issues. That's what we've dedicated this program to today is strategies. What strategies are going to help you run your business, whether you're a realtor, a builder, a mortgage broker, a mortgage banker, a financial institution of any size? We've got some strategies we're going to talk about. And let's start off as we do kind of down the lines of our program format. We're going to start off with Joe and say, Joe, let's get into some of the strategies that you're hearing about from your clients and some of the strategies you're recommending as a result of this low rate environment.
Well, Dave, you know, we're at historically low rates. And as you ask, as we were getting out of the first segment, how much longer can they stay here? Well, number one, I think that we're in an environment that is conducive to low rates remaining for a while. We have very slow growth. We have very low inflation. And in those famous words, the future is unusually uncertain. And so we are not concerned about a rapid rise in rates in the short term, but clearly rates are going to rise, and we're going to leave an environment that has created a refi opportunity. And just think about the loans being made now and the long-term consequence of having a 4-4.5% note rate. We were born at a time last these rates were seen, many years ago. And just think about the impact of those low rates on the incentives to a homeowner to stay there, to fix up and not move, to add on, to pass it on to the kids. So, maybe we're in for an environment that is going to have, lower refi opportunity, and some of those people are going to stick around for a while. Yeah. So as rates rise, I think that you've got to get closer and remain close to the referral sources. You've got to be on top of the interest rate environment. You've got to prove yourself a professional and the ability to understand and explain movements and be prepared for an exceptionally large amount of volatility as we shift from where we are. Now, we've been pretty volatile lately, but as we start heading in that other direction, just as coming down was volatile, going up's going to be volatile. So arm yourself with what it takes to be on top of the markets.
And I know you're not going to mention this. I'm going to jump in because you're so polite in that. But, I mean, the reality is let's talk about the importance of having tools today available to you to manage the sudden spikes. I mean, Joe, your service, MBS Quote Line, again, we're not trying to turn this into an infomercial, but the reality is people are going to be just put at a huge disadvantage if they do not have the proper tools like this in this market. Even if rates stay low, it's going to take just one negative news number that comes out. You talked about the economic calendar that you had up earlier and some of the items, the retail sales, for example, coming out tomorrow. If there was the slightest blip in that, while everything might settle back down, it could spike things. So to be able to have access to it is just huge, the access to this data of what's going on in real time. Talk to me about some of what your clients are telling you about the importance of this data.
Well, today's a great example, Dave. As we get into the pricing elements and their impact on compensation, just think about it. It's going to be – I think we're going to have a less competition on price and more competition on professionalism and service and skills of the individual. Today, if you know what's going on in the market, you told your client to hold off this morning. Let's not lock. Let's wait and see if we don't get a better price because I'm watching the market improve. Now, that person is going to get a referral. That person is going to be viewed as a higher, more knowledgeable professional. So the intraday volatility can make or break a deal. It can help you to stand above everybody else. And that's what it's going to take to do well in this, it's going to become more commoditized in that the price is going to be, every company is going to have a different price, but at least you're not dealing with the ability to inflate it or deflate it based on, your particular relationship with the customer. So, make yourself more professional.
Yeah, I think one of the things, Andy, we were talking about on the pre-show program and some of the best topics. Folks, I just wish we could almost make that pre-call live, pre-program call live for him because we had such great discussion on. Andy, you were talking to Joe about the significance of the loans staying on the books. Get into that a little bit because I think it's really important because it is going to have an impact on future refinances when the rates do spike up.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that affect – the market as rates are low, like Joe was just mentioning. If you've got a 4% note rate, then your incentive to move to a new job when rates are now at 6 and have to refinance is going to be a little bit impacted because your purchasing power is less. So in one respect, that puts some pressure on salaries to make more so that you can afford the higher payment of the same house. And it also is going to create an incentive to keep the house. Joe mentioned this earlier. If you got a 4% note rate, you may want to keep that to term. You know, if you move, you sell the house. I mean, you rent the house instead of sell it. You maybe wrap the note instead of pay it off. They got to be careful with that because if the lender finds out about it, there's due on sale clauses in there that if you sell it to somebody else, like on a contract for deed, to keep it, and then it's like renting it to them, but renting for purchase. Certain triggering events can cause the lender to accelerate those things if they find out about it. So you want to be very, very careful to get some good advice from attorneys if you're going to do stuff like that. But look at the people holding servicing.
Yeah, it's that servicing factor that really enters into it. We talk about prepayment speeds. I mean, Andy, you studied this. You managed at B of A there for a number of years. The portfolio or one of the execs responsible for them. I mean, you look at the issue of interest rates and how that has affects the servicing rights staying on the books, MSRs.
Exactly. As the prepayment speeds slow down because the probability of refinance is low, either because the rates are low or because the FICO scores are low, as the probability of prepayment is reduced, the life of the loan extends. And what that means is that the mortgage servicing rights that you're holding on your books aren't going to be impaired. They're not going to be written down because your servicing asset's going to be on your books for as long as you originally thought or even longer.
Yeah. Which is a good thing. It adds the value of the servicing. Joe, when it comes to some of the things, you're an accountant. You also got some opinions on servicing rights. I'd love to have you weigh in on some of those comments that Andy just made.
Well, I'd say I'm surprised that the value of servicing is not being improved more than it has.
And that's the truth.
I think there's uncertainty in those regards, too, given some people are considering servicing rights as being the same sort of asset as goodwill. There are lots of changes, Basel capital requirements, limited capital, a lot of reasons that servicing has, as an asset has not been given more value. But at the same time, those people buying servicing right now are probably getting the buy of a lifetime.
Yeah.
There is a chance. Well, let me ask the question. What's the chance of today's loans refinancing in the next, year or in the next 2 years? Probably pretty small. So I think it's a great opportunity for those who have the ability to hold and to manage and will likely see that this is one of the best books of business they've ever invested in.
ever seen. Never seen, you know, the values, the interest rates this low. If you would have done it based, evaluated the value of servicing, evaluated the value of servicing a number of years ago and applied the rules that were applied a number of years ago, this would be at astronomical historical prices. It's not, folks. And I think it's a lot of it's because so many servicers, Alice, that are out there just dealing with just all the issues in their back office of the book of business that they are servicing has gotten so expensive, so many people to talk to, and on all these delinquent loans, it's just driving costs of servicing up. So I think that might be some of the contributing factors as to why that we're not seeing that rise in value. Do you think so, Alice?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And I think, you know, we again, to one of the things we were bouncing around on the pre-call, is there an advantage here for assumptions? Really, you know, is that helping to make FHA more valuable, at least to consumers, the idea that, well, if I at least get an FHA loan right now, it's assumable and it'll allow me to hang on to that rate, and maybe that'll be marketable. It'll be a commodity for them in the future.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Alice, I start looking at the dynamics of people. We were one of the discussions. I had the privilege last night sitting down with Dr. Michael Lee of San Diego State University, along with Jack Guttentag of Wharton MBA School, and just sitting down visiting about this, along with a number of people. There's a conference going on that we talked about on this broadcast, the AmeriCatalyst meeting going on right now this week in Austin, and some of the most amazing discussions going on right there about a lot of this and the future of, you know, servicing, the future of an entire industry from that standpoint. And I think we come back to look at one of the most significant, one significant event that is landscape altering is the fact that legislation is entering on us or coming on us like we have never seen it. Alice, what are you seeing with the legislative initiatives out there? I like that one term your one client uses, seismic. I think it's a tsunami, it's seismic. Whatever mega term you can use to describe this, how are you advising in the training and all the people that you're talking to? Because I know you're getting a lot of phone calls. You're one of the leading companies out there on training. And, folks, I'm going to do a little bit of an advertisement here. We work with Alice closely, and we're aware of other firms out there. There is not another firm that is as conscientious and conservative in their interpretation of what's going on out there. If you haven't talked to them, you need to get them up there and talk to them. So, Alice. Sorry about that. I just kind of gave you a little free ad out there. But it's really true.
Thank you, Dave.
I mean, we believe in it. So what is it that you're advising your clients right now as a result of this legislation that's coming down the legislative highway?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at all of it that we've been hit with over the last couple of years, you know, you have to go back to MDIA and RESPA changes. One of the things that we've seen is trying to balance staying in compliance, operational costs, and to what Andy said earlier, you know, you've got, maybe you want to go out and get more sales, but that doesn't necessarily equate to more profit. So you have a wide variety of how people have chosen to implement these things. I think one thing I would like people to think about as we go in and help customers look at their procedures, we also do procedure analysis and procedure writing for them, very much at a process level to make sure they can prove they're in compliance. So one of the strategies I would say now is if you felt you've had to be very conservative, companies have hired and created compliance checkers and positions in various places. You know, they've actually had to add bodies just for the compliance aspect of it, not for volume. Put systems in place to monitor the results of what you've had to do. So, for example, if you've had to add this operational person, make sure you've got the tools to measure, okay, now what is my error rate? What can I look at operationally to filter that in through my existing staff or what technology resources are available so that I can don't feel like the decisions I've had to make now because everything got thrown at me so fast have to be the long-term decision. Make sure you set, whether it's quarterly or every 6 months, you're analyzing again the decisions that you made to make sure they're the right balance of maintaining the right amount of risk, keeping yourself protected that you can prove you're in compliance, and I didn't go overboard and I'm costing my company, you know, an unnecessary amount of operational costs.
Alice, we've talked to, we listened to Andy talk, the Profit Doctor talk about in previous segments, and boy, you should be downloading all our programs and listening to these, especially, there's not one part of it that's better than another, it's just all valuable information. But Andy was talking about this one company that called him and said, hey, we're ready to grow, we're ready to go up to the next level, and they had not done the analysis on their numbers to find out that that move to the next level is going to blow them up. isn't that absolutely the case in, with when it comes to the regulatory? If you're not in compliance, folks, right now, so any more volume is only going to just, well, exacerbate any problems you have, accentuate them, if not just blow you out, especially what's coming. It is so critical. You get tight. Alice, talk to what you're seeing out there. You're traveling around talking to associations. Talk to our listeners about what you're seeing about the lack of readiness, or are people ready for what's coming?
You know, I think people, the what's coming, I think that people are not ready for is the loan officer compensation. And, you know, there's the group that we joked around about that, you know, they don't even know that they're supposed to be paying attention to the Department of Labor's position. We've had several shows about that. And when I bring up, you know, you can't compensate someone, or you need to pay overtime if they've worked here over more than 40 hours a week, and do you even have a time card? And I get these blank stares going, oh, really? When did that go into effect? And then you have
it's
the
Texas. They refer to that as a calf in a new pen look. You know what I mean? They just sit there and blink at you. So, sorry,
well,
I had to throw it.
No, that's fine. You have the procrastinators who are going, well, isn't it going to go away? You know, somebody make this go away. And then, like you referenced, you know, what are the big boys going to do when it comes to the yellow compensation provisions, you know, as part of Dodd-Frank and now in our rule from the Federal Reserve Board? And that's a big wait and see right now. Everybody's hashing out ideas, but I don't think anyone's come up with one-size-fits-all solutions.
I don't know that there's going to be. And I think when it comes to this, folks, I mean, a lot of you have written me and said, you know, love the program, great contact, bring us solutions. I mean, look and tell us something. I've got two clients out in Virginia that listen to the program. They're great friends, and we appreciate them so much out there. And they're saying, Dave, bring us solutions. It's good that you hack it out and hash it out, but bring us solutions. Tell us what we should do. And, Alice, to those that are saying, what should we do, what has been your response?
Well, you know, we keep saying we have to wait and see. A lot of people are saying I have to wait and see what the big company is going to do, but the ultimate answer is, what is your situation? You have to assess. You know, there's such a variety. We've had banks who are paying loan officers salary. A lot of companies are saying, wait a minute, my loan officers are pure, you know, type A, great salespeople. How do I keep them motivated?
Love those types.
Yeah, and so there really isn't one answer, although, you know, the Fed would like us to all just pay everybody a flat fee.
Yeah.
And, Joe, I know you have some opinions on that one, too.
Yeah. You know, as far as what people should do, and it seems to me like there is the obvious is you got to prepare yourself for change. Yes. And to me that begins with an attitude, and an attitude that goes throughout the company. And then, in addition, the logical things are to make sure that your systems providers, your IT, your people, your support functions are capable of implementing and communicating that change. But number one is to prepare for it and to, as we said a couple of weeks ago, to embrace it because it's here and it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, Joe, are trying to figure out how to embrace it. Is the thing you're going, but what do we do? What do we do? Well, first of all, you get familiar with what's coming out.
Yeah, and at this point, I don't know that you can embrace it to the point of setting new compensation arrangements or creating systems that automatically produce documents and/or support functions. But you can begin to embrace it in the form of, hey, this is going to kick some people out of the industry. There are some people out there that are going to be gone, and those of us that survive are going to be that much stronger.
Yep.
We're going to have a better relationship with the consumer, and we're still going to have loans out there to make. So, if you accept that it's coming and you embrace it as opposed to fight it and resist it, then I think your ability to implement those changes is going to be so much better.
Hey, Dave, I want to jump in with one recommendation that I know we've always said anyway, you know, in any market, in any condition or regulatory environment, we've talked about that you really need to have pricing centralized that to some extent. And so this kind of plays into that. If you're trying to say, I need some action items, you know, one of the things you have to assess is, what are my LOs paid now? How are they paid? And, you know, what am I going to do to keep them motivated? And you do need to, I think, take control and know your price. You have to know what it's going to cost you per loan to come up with, now how am I going to say at least here's a base compensation that's going to keep them motivated.
That is such a good point. You know, the number one thing is no action is just going to cause you to have an overreaction when it comes down the line. There are things. That is really one very important process. It's amazing the number of companies we go into. I know you're Alice, you're talking to them, that have a just loan officers can lock with anybody, do whatever they want, wherever they want. It's really one of the worst things that you could be having in light of this new environment. It's controls, 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 folks. You got to get them in place, and you've got to get great counsel. We'll be right back after this quick break.
It's time for the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar Data Track.
John Pryor posted a story at Housing Wire about how credit union mortgage originations are down 43% from last year. I'm not sure how many of our listeners are in the credit union space, but I wanted to share this story because it sheds some light into a small corner of our industry. John includes some interesting statistics, such as the fact that credit unions now only account for 3.9% of the origination market share. That's down from 5.2% last year. I suspect the shift is a reflection in the confidence borrowers are regaining and working with traditional lenders, whereas last year they felt credit unions were a safe haven from the imminent collapse of all banks. You can read this article by John Pryor at housingwire.com. And last week, Mike Sorahan posted a story on the NBA Newsleak e-newsletter about how second home sales are up 7.9%. Most of those homes are planned to be used by the buyer for vacations and family retreats, and a big chunk of those buyers plan on making those homes their primary residence at some point in the future. I wanted to direct people to this story because it made me think that this might be a market you could actively market into in order to help grow your business right now. You can read the full story in last Wednesday's MBA Newslink. Those were the stories that caught my attention this past week. This is Rob Katz with EMD, and I'll be back next week with the news I think you should know about.
This has been the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar Data Track. Catch Rob's news of the week right here on the Lickin' on Lending Show or online at dmdinc.com.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Good to have you back, everybody. This is Dave Lickin with Lickin on Lending. I'll tell you, have you gone out and found your PMI rep and given them a hug today? I'll tell you, they're a great group of folks. They're ready to help you. Andy Schell, we had some comments as we went to break there. You had some things you were telling me about that is, I think it's great perspective. Jump in here.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave. One of the things I wanted to mention is we've been talking about all these rule changes and how this is going to affect loan officer compensation, and it absolutely is. But it's going to affect everybody, every single mortgage bank.
Yeah, it's across the board.
Everyone, credit unions, banks, mortgage banks, everybody's affected by all of this. And it seems to me that one of the ways to take advantage of this circumstance is to be in front of it. We're all going to be affected by it. We're all going to sort it out and operate however the rules say. So now it seems to me is a time to grow. And one of the things about growth is not just volume growth, but it's getting closer to the capital markets, the opportunity to possibly bypass the aggregators. So, Dave, I know you've helped companies do this stuff. I've seen you. The good news, the great thing I have about working with you at MBF is that I hear about all these strategy ideas you're thinking about all the time.
The reason I'm chuckling about that is because I had my own first mortgage company. I opened it up and I had to be a mortgage banker with capitalization. I only had $25,000. Like, what do I do with this? And so, yeah, the capitalization is just such a good, it's a huge issue, Andy.
Well, Dave, I'll be the moderator for a second. Dave, tell us about ways a mortgage company can grow in this market and take advantage of this opportunity we're facing.
Well, you know, Joe was talking on the pre-call earlier about interest rates, and we were talking about what people are earning, and Alice was mentioning on a pre-call about what the CDs that one of her family members is getting paid. And it's almost like to the point where if you put money in the bank, they're expecting you to pay them interest to take and manage the money. It's just like, my God, the whole thing is just upside down right now because of how low the yield is. The point of it is that there is so much capital in the market that's sitting in cash. Trillions of dollars are sitting in cash waiting for the bottom of this market. So if you've got a plausible plan to invest money, or you have a business that's stable, making money, is it making money, is it compliant, got to have Alice in there, got to have the profit doctor to make sure it's making money, you got to have the right tools, got to have Joe in there making sure you're monitoring the interest rates, managing that risk. But if you have these things, you have a successful business and it's prospering, you know what? The only thing you need is some capital to get up above these levels, and you will not believe how much money is out there. Andy, you know, I would talk about the one fund that we're working on. Can't talk too much about it before the release. But, folks, we have found an immense amount of capital that's coming in. We're hopefully going to be advising, deeply involved in a fund that is going to help the recapitalization, be a create funds for those companies that are available that are going to be able to recapitalize or add capital to them and get them up above the threshold. It's so critical, folks. So if you think you have a business and your capital, you're under capital constraints, have hope. There is a good reason to have optimistic approach to this. Do not be pessimistic. Realize that there is capital out there. And there's two ways. There's two types of capital. And Andy, you can just add in, because you're the accountant. You and Joe are the accountants here. The CPA's in the mix. So you have to add this. But I've always put it as this. There's two types of capital. There's operational capital, that money that you use to keep the lights on, pay the salaries, cover shortfalls, and then there's leverage capital, that capital that sits in your books to really be parked money that there's a number of ways you can refer to it. And you have to help me out. I'm not sounding very accountish here, Andy and Joe. But, Andy, what is the term that you best refer to that? Because that's the capital that we're talking about, helping get in companies to build the leverage, to get the capital requirements, your overall balance sheet is paid in capital, it goes up, and it boosts the net worth of these companies to the levels that they're above the new thresholds, most of which it seems to be $2.5 to $3 million. Andy, how's the best way to reference that capital?
No, that's exactly right. It's paid in capital, so it is technically at risk, but there's a separate agreement with the investor and the owner to restrict access to the capital, so the investor's 401, or rather Schwab account, would be sold and liquidated, and have the mortgage company would open a Schwab account and then transfer the funds into the mortgage company's Schwab account that the investor manages. So the investor still has access to their money, but the mortgage company's balance sheet is up $5 million, $2 million. But let's say that it's possible to get that money, and we've done it many times, and there's lots of money on the sidelines. There's lots and lots of opportunities to make this become a reality. So let's say you get to $2.5 million. What do you think they should do then to get their volume to support their capital?
Well, then one of the biggest things is, I've got some capital, I can grow my business, so what is the strategy to do it with? There's a lot of focus, and has been a lot of focus, on net branches. And Alice, I know you've seen every kind of net branch scheme out there, and as you know, the number of them that are compliant with the way the HUD wants it done and the way the better, bigger investors want to have it done, it's just been woefully lacking. Alice, what's your thoughts on net branching?
Well, I think, you know, like we've talked about in the past, if it's the individual entrepreneur, you know, who's going in to want to work with a larger entity who they can now have the back office covered, and, you know, that's different than some of these net branches where you've got that they had no oversight. And the company basically just gave this person a contract and had already had a branch maybe in existence or had their own operations and just let them run on their own. That was wrong in the first place, but now more people are starting to realize they've got to.
Well, I think the HUD is all over it. I think they're looking at these net branches. Joe, you and I were talking about this recently about the net branch and what's not the way not to go about it is this rent a license, rent a thing. How, what were the terms you were using?
I don't recall the terms, but
you're almost as old as I am, so you're probably forgetting. But the reality is,
I'm sorry, but I have fun with it. I turned 60 this year, guys. August 24th, I turned 60, and I'll tell you, everyone's harassing me about it because I've been harassing everyone that's over my age, or now at my age. So I ended the next decade. But no, what we were talking about, Joe, is how much abuses there are out there where you can just pay a minimal amount of money to a licensed company, is rent a license, get access to multiple states. That's what's going away, folks. And so you got it. So does that mean, I think this is to Andy's point, does that mean net branches are not a viable strategy? The answer is no, they are.
I mean, I was trying to think of which strategy or which method of origination is going to go away. And the answer is none. I think the brokers are going to do fine. I think the small mortgage banker is going to – they're going to need to have good systems and help in helping them to be compliant, but at least they're small and they know they're compliant just by looking around the room. Then you got the next level is going to be the net branch guys who are going to get a lot of those mortgage guys, small mortgage guys that need to move in order to be compliant. But, that's going to work. It always made sense to me that to have a single entity staying on top of compliance issues and systems and forms, and as opposed to all the individual companies. And so that's kind of what a net branch is going to be.
I think last week I was up in Columbus, Joe, Ohio, working with Residential Financial Corp company. And it's a great group of folks up there, David Stein and Michael Isaacs, and they're opening up a net branch strategy, but they're doing it right. They're getting guys like us to come in and setting it up, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, considering all the issues. And I tell you, I was so impressed with the fact that these two gentlemen, these owners of this net company, which have been a consumer direct, they got a great model. They've been profitable. They're doing well. In fact, they've become very successful, even more so lately. And now they're seeing an opportunity with this net branch and this disruption that's taking place as a result of this, all the chaos that's going on out there, is expand. And so they're creating a home. But they're not just saying, you know what, come on board, we'll let you rent a license. That's not what they're doing. They're taking the time to set it up right. And, Alice, I just so much appreciate that, especially in light of your business partner, Jan Wetzel of Wetzel Trot. It is so important. Quality is just so critical. In fact, let's take a quick break and hear more about Wetzel Trot.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Helping you take control of your business. Take control of business. I'll start to break it down and get into dance here, Alice, if you don't watch it. I love that statement, Alice. Taking control of your business. I think it's so important. Whether taking control of it from a compliance standpoint, taking control of the business from getting a centralized lock desk. There's been a number of suggestions that are coming out. And, folks, stay tuned. We're going to be continuing each week. Come back, and we're going to be talking about that. Taking control of your bottom line. Do you have a financial model? I'll tell you, one of the things that I was impressed with about our friends, newfound friends at MyRFC, the Residential Funding Corp up in Columbus, is they are building a financial model before they launch it. And Annie's going to be hopefully helping them get that figured out, make sure they consider all those things. It is just so important, folks, that you have a solid model for how you're going about your business, a compliance model, a pricing model, a bottom line number, and a financial management. Joe, Alice, and Andy, we've got about 6 minutes here. Let's take a couple minutes here and just say, is there any issues? Jump in here. Let's start with you, Alice, that we have not covered that have come to mind as we've gone through the program that you'd like to make sure we get out to our listeners.
Well, I think on the loan officer compensation front, it really is something that you have to start taking a look at now. The rule does have a lot of guidance to go on to give you some ideas on how you could potentially work with the loan terms. I think everybody gets the idea of, okay, I can't compensate them on interest rate. But there are some caveats about, okay, what can I compensate on? What is the definition of I can't compensate on loan terms? And so basically what's left, and I think one thing I'd like to have people think about is, how do I have a good quality scorecard for a loan originator? And is there a way to add some compensation bonus structure, for example, based on that?
Stay tuned, folks. There's a lot more ideas we're going to have about compensation as we sort it out, but like Alice just implied, there's a lot of things that are unknown, and so we're going to be continuing to do our best to bring you up-to-date information. Joe, your comments as we get ready to close out the program.
Along those lines, there's a very good set of examples in an attachment or an addendum to the Fed rule. I can't give you the link.
Yes, there's a commentary, yes.
Yeah, it really helped clarify to me that, you know, there's not that much changing here other than what the loan officer can quote. You can price differently by area, by product. I mean, you just have to have a set price, and that set price needs to be the thing quoted for that customer. But, you know, is that what the customer qualifies for? So it's not that big a change. It's just, there's no priced in overage.
Yeah.
You might still be able to get intraday improvement. That's secondary marketing gains, but just no more priced in overage or underage.
Andy Schell, as we're wrapping up the program, any comments, parting thoughts that you have for our listeners?
Well, yeah, Dave, I have one thought, and that we were talking about how low the rates are and how that's extended the slowed down the prepayment speed, extended the life. But you know what? There's a reason why people move around the country. Part of it's because of Eisenhower's Interstate Highway Program from the late 50s, early 60s. People are mobile. People move. People moving drives home sales and home purchases. So if you're a realtor or just a purchase lender, there's going to be business. There's going to be a lot of businesses. People move around. What's fun is in talking to Dave, because Dave, when you hear about some of the stories of Dave when he was an originator, he's like Velcro walking through a real estate office and walks out with all the applications. So if you want to be able to get into the purchase business more extensively because the refi is going away, you need to talk to Licken, because he knows how to do this. He's a master at it, and he can help you guys get your volume up through a purchase business instead of the refi business, which is probably going to be sliding off a bit now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's a whole lot easier to brag about you guys and all that you can do. It's hard to hear that when I hear it about myself. We love to work with you. And that's one of the reasons that we started this program is, you know, now over, gosh, Alice and Joe, we started that over a year and a half ago, almost, I don't know, what it'd be, a year and, well, 18 months. And that's why we started this thing, is to really get in. And we've added Andy because of the need for the bottom line focus. And we're here, folks, to do just that, bring you information on what is going on. And we appreciate, again, so many that are listening across the country and making your trade associations, your local mortgage associations, your realtor association, builder associations aware of what we're trying to do. Get the word out. A special thank you goes out to all of our sponsors. We appreciate you so much for being there and being there with us again. We want to thank PMI for being there, Del Mar Database for what they're doing. I love the comments you're doing that are coming to us, that Rob is bringing us each week. I think it's very valuable. Alice and Joe, just thank you so much for what you've done for so long. Andy Schell, you're just such a valuable addition to the program. So grateful for it. Wetzel Trott for all that they do in helping guide people to quality and excellence. And we just thank you. Our special thank you again goes out to our friends at Housing Matrix for what they're doing, and we're excited to have them. If you haven't been over to their website, go on over, go into the website. By the way, check out their marketplace. You want to look at what's going on lenders. They got a commercial
They got the correspondent lenders. It's a really great resource out there. Also, click over to the American Housing Media. There's a place where you can register and get updates of what the program is, talking about what is happening with future programs. We've got programs coming up. In fact, let me tell you what we've got coming up here on the radio program. We've got moving on next week. We will have a financing rural America. Beth from I'm reading it here. I can't read my writing, but anyway, Beth will be coming in from us from Director of Correspondent Lending of Ag First. There it is. And then also Tony Musgrave will be coming and talking to us about loan officer compensation. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to be excited to be bringing you this program each and every week. I'm rushed for time. Talk to you soon. Have a blessed week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.